WPRMetro.org, Community Progressive Radio for the metropolitan New York area and the world, and this is Weekday World. I'm your host, Don DeBar. Report of some of the news and events of the past 24 hours from the CPR Newsroom. From Community Public Radio, this is the CPR News. From New York, I'm Don DeBar. The so-called Trump dossier was back in the news this week as allegations came out that Hillary Clinton's campaign and or the DNC helped fund its preparation and dissemination. For more on that, we spoke with Mark Sloboda, senior lecturer in international relations at Moscow State University, via Skype from Moscow Friday.
One of the big stories this week has been a report that surfaced in the Washington Post now with supposedly credible sourcing. I don't consider that the Washington Post in general has credible sourcing. I mean, they've quoted anonymous current or former deep state officials for so many stories in the past year that these guys must have like a bunk bed at the Washington Post.
Well, they do have an accountant there because apparently they fund the Washington. Well, they fund Bezos. So
But this particular story has been known wherever it broke first in the Washington Post. It's been known for a long time, right? They've just now got some sources with the FBI confirming it. But this is we've discussed this before, I think. It has long been generally known that this dodgy dossier, this opposition research that was collected together by a former foreign spook, a former British foreign agent who worked the Russia desk and is now basically a freelance spook for hire. He was hired to do opposition research on Trump and to link him in with Russia. And this is what this opposition research is. Former British agent's name is Christopher Steele, and he was hired by a shadowy opposition research company in the U.S. called Fusion GPS. Now it has long been known that this opposition research was first funded by a Republican, an unknown Republican, during the Republican primary. All right, standard to do opposition research on your opponents like Trump, and it's not like there's not plenty of dirt on Trump lying around out there.
On TV, even, because the guy spent half his life in the media, so there's plenty of dirt on videotape.
Every time he opens his mouth.
Right, okay.
But this goes a step further, because this is, violating a whole lot of the meddling and collusion accusations, that have been come up so much as a result of this campaign and election. They hired a foreign spook to do opposition research. So this was being compiled, by Fusion GPS, by this Christopher Steele, who, by the way, cannot visit Russia himself. He's long been persona non grata from his time with the British intelligence in Russia. He's not allowed in the country. So he himself never met or spoke with anyone in Russia, at least. And so that calls into question all of his sourcing and so on.
Right. It sounds like the Syrian observatory that's in London.
And someone who has an axe to grind, certainly.
Right.
As the Republican primary ended, and to everyone's surprise, including mine, and I think probably yours, Trump won the Republican primary, and this opposition research was offered to the DNC, and we now know via this Washington Post report that the DNC and the Hillary Clinton campaign picked up the funding. Continued to hire Fusion GPS and this Christopher Steele to continue doing this opposition research. Now, the first thing that this raises on just the most basic legal level, all kinds of Federal Election Commission violations. Watchdogs have already fired reports, complaints with the FEC calling for an investigation, because neither the DNC nor the Clinton campaign filed any paperwork regarding the payments for this opposition research, not to mention the possible issues with it, literally being a foreign spook who they were relying on. So that's the first question. And Clinton has already tried to distance herself from this by publicly saying, oh, she never knew about it. It was just someone in the DNC or someone in her campaign, this lawyer, Mark Elias for Perkins Coie, who was hired by them to hire Fusion GPS, which hired Christopher Steele, all these layers of isolation here, middlemen removed. She's saying she didn't know about it until it was released to the public. Now, that's pretty much, if you believe that, then I've got a bridge I want to sell you Brooklyn, because every media organization in the U.S. had a copy of this dossier already, and no one released it for over 6 or 7 months, because it was so obviously fake. It was so obviously tabloid dirt that no media organization released it up until December, January timeline, when BuzzFeed, better known for cat listicles and other things, was the first to release it. And then the rest of the media went along with it. And then it started getting, involved as this Trump-Russia collusion allegation started coming out. This was the big excitement.
And this is after it got sanctified by, okay, here's this pile of garbage we gave to all the media. Oh, we're going to give it to Intel and let one of them leak it to media. Well, suddenly it came from, deep Intel sources, and now it's got some legitimacy.
Okay, so this was actively, despite having been done for the DNC and the Clinton campaign, they paid for it. This was being trotted around to every media organization. It was also being trotted around, evidently, to every politician in Washington. John McCain was given a copy months before and was running around Washington with it, trying to get the FBI to take it seriously, to push it. The FBI had it. Everyone had it, evidently, except for, you know, the Clinton campaign had it. But everyone saw it except for Hillary Clinton, I guess. You know, but right. This kind of denial is expected to try to remove herself from the legal liability. Finally, there is a true piece of election violations with evidence here, and she's running, running scared from it, which is understandable. But this was being pushed all over the place. This was being peddled not only by Steele himself, right, but by the British government, the current British government at the highest levels. A British ambassador evidently handed a copy off to McCain and possibly to the FBI. And you know, the reports in the British media are that the British government greenlighted a meeting between Steele and the FBI to discuss it. You know, they greenlighted the FBI accepting this information. So it's basically got their stamp of approval on it.
Now, is this meddling?
Is that meddling? I don't know.
And then with McCain, is that collusion?
Yeah, it's certainly greater evidence of, you know, with both Britain and also with this Ukraine Andrea Chalupa thing, there's far more real evidence of collusion and meddling there than there is with the hapless, totally incompetent Trump team. So this dossier is so obviously fake. It's so obviously, just scandalous rumors. I mean, the big exciting thing in it is this absolutely tabloidish scandal that Trump had to go to Russia to a hotel room to get a golden shower from prostitutes.
Here's the thing. And
the KGB has a video of it and so on. The few pieces of information in this dossier that could be verified, you know, the journalists have taken a look at, have been proven false. Like accusations that one of Trump's lawyers met with Russian agents in Prague when the passport records clearly indicate, as he insists, that a Trump lawyer has never been in Prague. Right. So I mean those are the most obvious basic verifiable details, things that journalists could start to look at to find out if there's any credibility in this document whatsoever, with all these anonymous sources and all this slander and incredible conspiracy theory accusations within. But the most basic details of this document are false, demonstrably false. So if you read the thing, it reads horrible. What it reminds me of, what I find the language that was used in the writing of it, both the choice of words, the choice of colorful adjectives, and some of the broken English involved. It sounds like large parts of it to me was written by the Maidan Ukrainian regime's SBU, their intelligence services. That's what it reads like to me there. And I would not be surprised if some of these sources supposedly end up being sourced to the SBU there, because it just sounds like a lot of what I have heard here in Russia.
And then the editing and tweaking, I think, looks to me a lot. I'm almost exactly the kind of language that they used when they were doing this stuff to Dr. King with the COINTELPRO stuff. I mean, the whole kind of framing of it and everything, and it seems, I'm surprised they haven't, and maybe they did, sent Trump a letter saying you should kill yourself.
Yeah, there's such a long history of this, not only with Trump. And again, it's not like there's not enough dirt out there on Trump,
right,
and enough, you know, sexual harassment, you know, that is perfectly evident and so on that could legitimately be pursued. But, you know, that's not as sexy and delegitimizing as this whole Russia collusion angle that, you know, Clinton and the DNC have used to, right, explain away their embarrassing lost to Trump in the election, particularly in blue working collar states.
You know, there's also a problem with doing something besides, you know, whatever they choose to use as a weapon against Trump, they have to live with after they take him out. And so if they take him out for dog whistling racist stuff, for example, what do? Replace him with Pence? Or with Ryan, for example, or if they dog whistle, you know, they, you know, take him out over white supremacist policy in Africa. Well, who do they replace him with? Somebody that helped to develop AFRICOM. In other words, the only thing that they could take him out with leaves them in a position to get more aggressive with Russia.
Yeah, well, they're certainly not going to take him out with the FBI investigation or anything like that. This FBI investigation, by the way, Mueller has, or his team anyway, has spoken privately with this Christopher Steele, whom has tried, and succeeded at completely avoiding the press. He will not appear in public. He will not speak about this. There's no interviews out there you can find with him. He's gone dark, but he resurfaced enough, according to media reports, to speak with the FBI investigation and then disappear back into the shadowy room that
no
he has
confronting
slung
your accuser.
This mud from.
You can't confront your accuser with
this. No,
case.
You can't. I mean, and he certainly isn't speaking in any way, shape, or form about it himself. He threw this mud out there, and then he retreats back into the shadows and doesn't want to talk about it. The CEOs, the co owners of Fusion GPS, this opposition research shadowy firm that hired Christopher Steele, you know, and then they themselves were hired by a Clinton and DNC lawyer. They were subpoenaed by the congressional and Senate investigations into Russiagate. You know, there are multiple investigations going here, sometimes working at cross purposes with each other. There's the FBI investigation. There's multiple congressional investigations. There's multiple Senate investigations. So this is going all over the place. They have been subpoenaed to testify before the congressional investigations, the heads of Fusion GPS, this opposition research company, and they pleaded the fifth. They're the first people in all of this Russiagate scandal that we know of to plead the fifth against self-incrimination, which raises a whole lot of questions that, you know, of what, you know, is actually involved in going on there. So we won't be hearing, you know, publicly from them, certainly, unfortunately.
Not anytime soon.
But it goes further than the Clinton and the DNC, right? That raises all kinds of FEC questions, collusion questions, you know, their association with this complete piece of garbage that. It seems that eventually the FBI took on board and started to take seriously, and was even this dossier was included in the appendix to reports that were presented to Donald Trump, you know, supposedly as proof that there was some kind of a Russian meddling in the election that got him elected.
Right.
This is probably why he hasn't taken a whole lot of this very seriously. If he, you know, knows that, you know, these accusations against him are part of it, and then, you know, and it turns out as it seems likely that there's no truth to them.
Right.
It helps understand, you know, his reaction to all of this.
Right.
But it goes further than the Clinton and DNC, because CNN has a report out this week. Again, they reported it. It's not being talked about at all. FBI reimbursed some expenses of dossier author.
Yeah.
So Obama's FBI eventually picked up on this last November. After Trump had already won the election, and they started the, you know, the big foreign policy sabotage operation, right, seeding opening up access to documents across agencies so that it was cross-filtered, and which is why we have so many of these anonymous deep state officials popping out of the woodwork, leaking stuff all over the place. Yeah. You know, they laid it. Mines. They lay it a minefield.
Yeah. Expelling Russian diplomats, seizing diplomatic properties, bombing Syrian armed forces, all kinds of stuff. Remember all of it.
Yeah. Well, the FBI evidently paid this. Obama's FBI paid this spook who collected this opposition research on a then presidential candidate, soon to be, you know, the president himself. The FBI paid for it. Right. They paid for this.
Yeah, lid. Right. Yep.
I don't know. I mean, I know we all know the CIA usually does these sorts of things. Right. But I talked to a former CIA agent turned critic the other night, and he says it is absolutely not FBI procedure to pay for stuff like this, or even to be involved really in it at all. They are a law. You know, they're involved in enforcing U.S. law, not funding a political opposition research, much less this type of scandal sheet that this was.
You know, it's so interesting in this too.
Christopher Steele supposedly turned down payments,
right?
But he did. They offered to pay him money, put him on salary.
Yep.
But he instead just he accepted. The FBI paid for some of his expenses. I don't know what those are. Bribing people, paying people for writing these fictions, or whether he actually has some sources, which seems unlikely. But this is when we know it's not just Clinton, not just the DNC, but the FBI that was paying this. You know, this raises all kind of questions.
Yeah, this is what gets me, because
political propriety,
Watergate. Let's go to Watergate.
Conflict of interest.
Let's go to Watergate, because what Nixon was accused of, the crime was the break into a hotel, physical break in, and then in terms of the cover up and the things that were exposed, using the FBI to spy on this one, that one, or whatever. Here you have an affirmative record. Here's some checks paying these guys to do this, an active involvement of the FBI in the campaign, and then after the guy's elected to try to sink the president, and then after he takes office, it makes Watergate look like, a picnic.
And we have to remember that, despite the initial opprobrium and mockery that was unleashed on Trump when he, tweeted ridiculously about so many things, it's perhaps easy to understand. But when he tweeted about Trump Tower being bugged, and then it has since emerged that Paul Manafort, his former campaign manager, who has an apartment in Trump Towers and was working with him, was himself bugged
right.
Against his knowledge by the Obama's FBI.
Right.
You know, this is again spying on political campaigns, and they still don't have any evidence of any real Russian collusion.
Right.
After all of that, after all of these months of investigation, this Mueller investigation is going off in all kinds of weird tangents because they haven't been able to find anything. So they're now investigating Paul Manafort's tax returns and his financial dealings going back a decade.
Right?
This is, the conclusion of this, of course, the FBI investigation will have to come, so there'll be some kind of criminal charges filed as a result of all of this. But what it is likely that it will be is that it will be obstruction of justice or tax evasion or Manafort not listing as under the Foreign Agent Registration Act when he was working for the Ukrainian government, the overthrown Ukrainian government there. So
didn't declare some income that he took in Kiev or whatever.
There's not going to be any smoking gun, not any charges filed against Trump or even anyone, you know, on close to him on anything that actually matters or to do with the election,
right,
per se. Right. And but that is how it will conclude. And it will leave no one satisfied on any side, because it won't be any type of proof of what the Democrats and this quote so-called resistance is looking for. There won't be any definitive, resolution there. Trump isn't going to be impeached because of this investigation, though his presidency is not going to be removed because of it. And it doesn't even seem likely that they'll effectively be able to scalp anyone near him, except possibly for Manafort, and then again, not on anything actually to do with the election. And the way this investigation is branching off into areas that it should have nothing to do with at this point shows the impunity that Mueller is operating under because of this climate of political fear and hysteria. Trump can't have the Justice Department rein him in. They're off doing their own thing, and they're going off into all kind of weird tangents, having failed to find anything of what they were supposedly starting to look for to begin with.
Yep. I mean, look, let's say I'm hostile politically to the president and I'm the director of the FBI. And so I commence, an investigation that he's got some secret deal going with the Martians or whatever, however absurd it is. OK, as long as that investigation goes on, his attempt to make me stop, even if it's ridiculous, can be construed and even prosecuted as obstruction of justice. And certainly, as long as I'm following that track, I can do whatever I want, basically. In other words, it's like the FBI, if the FBI director is hostile to the president, they can treat him as badly as they can treat any other citizen, which, of course, the history of it shows that's pretty bad.
Yeah. I mean, it has to be remembered during this Monica Lewinsky scandal investigations and the censoring of Bill Clinton. What he was actually censored on was obstruction of justice.
Censured. Censured. Right. Obstruction of justice. Right.
Yeah. So for the same that's where this will end up. Now, This branching off the investigation parallels the branching off of the whole Russian meddling collusion story to begin with, where now it has devolved into Facebook ads and Facebook and social media ads by Russian media, and supposedly by they're affiliating advertisements from Black Lives Matter groups and everything, right, that they're trying to tie to some Russian, they talked about Russian linked to some company that may or may not exist in Russia, that may or not have any connection with the Russian government. And these ads that they're talking about, half of them didn't air
at all,
until after the election. 25% of them were never shown.
Right.
These ads that they supposedly say are Russian linked, some of them have to do with dog lovers groups promoting puppies. I mean, I know Putin loves dogs, but I don't think he seriously has to promote that. Black Lives Matter, all those things. Supposedly now that the charges are not that these social media ads were to influence the election per se, particularly as some of them actually promoted Clinton.
Right, that's right.
Which kind of suits their accusations. Now it's that they were meant to sow division
in the American
and
public.
Chaos.
Right, that's right.
Because there is no differences in American people. You know, we don't have anything that divides us without the Russians exacerbating us. Right. And you can clearly see that with the dog lovers ads, because I'm a dog lover. And, this was clearly meant by the Russians to incite my hatred of cat lovers.
Yeah, of course. Mine too. Yep. It's like that, like cats and dogs. You know, not for nothing, there's a historical, precedent for this too. When, the big bad Russians were being investigated by the original McCarthy 1.0, Of course, the Civil Rights Movement, which was the result of a few hundred years of slavery and then 100-some-odd years of Jim Crow, had nothing to do with the legitimate complaints that came from that, from people getting strung up and beaten down and everything else. Rather, the Russians made these folks angry. They were outside agitators and stuff like that.
Yeah, the FBI was principally involved in smearing the Civil Rights Movement, many of its leaders as communists and so on, with all kinds of personal slander as well. So, you know, we've seen this neo-McCarthyite playbook before, and we've seen it as recently as the 1960s.
Yep.
Russian resurfaced dudes. Now.
Yep.
You know, we've just had the story out of a Abrams aide. It was Congresswoman
down in Atlanta. Abrams. Right. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, one of her aides simply gave an interview to Sputnik, two before he started working with her and one since, where he discussed, the Democratic strategies for beating Trump. I mean, he gave it to Sputnik America.
The Eugene Puryear. He was speaking with Eugene Puryear from the PSL, who's as American as apple pie.
Yeah, he's an African American,
he's a Washington, D.C.
African rights activist.
Right. Yep.
I mean, he's a... you can't ask for, again, to attack what he's doing as Russian propaganda. You know, it's ridiculous. I saw someone on a Twitter posted the other day, that just made me laugh, that they didn't even know they were black until a Russian linked Facebook ad told them that they were black.
We got to leave it there. It gets funnier and funnier, and it's also, of course, getting a little scary as things they're going to start doing 24-hour service of B-52 bombers and stuff again. But next week we have a chance to analyze all of that and everything that's going to happen.
We now know that Twitter is a fully armed, fully owned subsidiary of the U.S. government.
Absolutely.
Because Russian media is banned from buying ads on Twitter. Not Israeli, not Saudi, not U.S. government, but Russian media is banned from ads that they approached RT to make.
we'll get to that too,
yeah,
Mark. Thank
we'll
you very much.
We'll get to that another time. Thanks for having me, Don.
Thank you, man. Bye.
And that's all the news we have for you right now. For Community Public Radio, I'm Don DeBar in New York. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to Weekday World from CPR, Community Public Radio. I'm your host, Don DeBar.
Hello and welcome to Crosstalk, where all things are considered. I'm Peter Lavelle. The so-called Russiagate scandal never seems to end. Now it appears the Democrats colluded with Russia, not Trump world. Nonetheless, alternative media like RT are blamed. Are we entering a new age of censorship? Crosstalking that dossier, I'm joined by my guest here in Moscow, Mark Sloboda. He's an international affairs and security analyst. We also have Alex Christoforo. He is a director and writer for TheDuran.com. And we have Victor Olevich. He is a political analyst as well as a leading expert at the Center for Actual Politics. All right, gentlemen, crosstalk rules in effect. That means you can jump in anytime you want, and I always appreciate it. So let me see if I understand something, you guys. We found out that a Republican started this dossier with Fusion GPS. The Democrats pick it up later on the Hillary Clinton people, and they paid a lot of money for it. They lied about it for almost a year. Then RT has its ads banned from Twitter. Connect those dots there, because it looks like, the other shoe is dropped, okay? Then, in looking at the kind of collusion that was going on within the political elite, but they're still blaming Russia.
Of course, this is very much alike to what was happening during the McCarthyist era. When the Cold War started last time, and the American political establishment decided to solve two problems at once. First of all, they felt that there were people in the State Department and other parts of government that were that didn't feel Russia was such a threat or felt that Russia was an ally during World War II, and they wanted to get rid of them. They also wanted to get rid of people that were sympathetic to Russia or wanted an alliance in Hollywood and other places in the United States. And at the same time, they wanted to use that scandal that was based also on mostly baseless and you know, out of...
how many people were actually convicted of spying for the Soviet Union?
And that scandal was also used to show that the Soviet Union at that time was an enemy. So what are we seeing today? We're seeing a similar situation where this scandal, the so-called Russiagate, it has different prongs. So one of its goals is to rid, you know, to have an internal cleansing of the American elites. And what's different
does that mean?
Now is that it has turned into a dogfight between different parts of the American elites, with each one of them calling the other
one. Okay, so let me get this straight here. So it's two-pronged. I agree with you. So get rid of Trump and keep Russia as an enemy. Is that the simple formula?
Yeah, I think there's some more layers than that to it. One of them, of course, is to deny agency to the roughly half of the American population that voted against Hillary Clinton and to seal the establishment of deep state's control of the country. I mean, you know, Trump's big sin, the unforgivable sin, is he wanted to make changes in foreign policy. It's an open question how committed to those he was, whether he's a real realist. These are questions. But simply his rhetorical efforts, you know, to end regime change, to improve relations with Russia, to stop the euphemism of democratization, they earned him the opprobrium of the deep state. If he had simply kept to a standard Republican neoliberal domestic and social policy.
But I think 9 months in, he's more or less done that, okay? And he's more or less. That's why.
Oh, he's tried, but he's lost control of his own foreign policy.
I think this is two-pronged. I mean, they've tamed Trump. I still think they want to get rid of him, but they've tamed him, okay? I think there's also another important layer is alternative media when it comes to, like, RT. Again, this is a killing a number of birds with one stone. You have establishment media, traditional media, legacy media, whatever term you want. They hate people like us.
I think that's you know, a casualty of war, if you will.
Well, no, an example. Well, I don't think the American Civil Liberties Union is going to come to our defense. Okay.
It was very interesting in a story out this week by the award-winning investigative journalist Robert Perry into this Russiagate thing. I found the most chilling moment was when he wrote to the ACLU, the American Civil Liberties Union, an NGO that exists to fight for First Amendment rights. The purity of their arguments has historically been very firm. He wrote to them asking, what is their position on RT's being banned from adding on Twitter and the other slow cycling against all the alternative media and others? And their response to him was, I'm sorry, thanks for reaching out to us, but we don't have anyone available to speak to you on this.
Exactly.
And it's just the beginning. So let's put some stuff into context. RT spent $1.9 million in advertising on Twitter since 2009. That's how much it's been. It's nothing. It's peanuts compared to the $2 billion that Hillary Clinton had in one campaign. And we're just beginning with RT. First, it's RT. The other day, Dianne Feinstein wanted all the direct messages, the private messages of WikiLeaks. So she's asking for those now. And just yesterday, Roger Stone, the conservative media analyst and who appears on InfoWars often, he can be labeled sometimes a provocateur.
A crank.
But he got his account completely banned. Everything was erased, all his followers, all his tweets, everything. So, I mean, you have all these organizations and people investing so much time into these social media platforms, and on the drop of a hat, on the turn of a dime, they can erase everything you've worked for, everything, and for no reason. Because, you know, you have Roger Stone, sure, he said some crazy and outlandish things, but you also have a lot of people on the left or on the liberal left who are also saying some crazy and outlandish things. Keith Olbermann, Don Lemon. These guys are no different than what Roger Stone is saying, but they're not getting banned.
So, Victor, what they really want to do is they want to crimp both ends of the spectrum. They want to get rid of progressives. They're really going after progressives now, like on YouTube, for example. And they want to get rid of people, well, conservatives like me. But, and they want to be able to make sure that the American public does not have access or not exposed to any foreign media.
Right. What's likely to happen, unfortunately, is that they're going to go after RT in cable networks. So they're probably going to try to take RT down from the cable networks that carry it. They're going to probably limit RT's exposure in different social media as far as they can, and proceed with generally limiting Sputnik and RT presence in the American spectre. But what they do not want to happen is the American people to hear an alternative point of view. They do not want the American people to hear anything different from what CNN or MSNBC or ABC or CBS and so forth are saying. Mm-hmm. That mainstream approach that's geared towards what the government, towards what the American establishment wants to be heard. You know, everything else, they do not want the American people
that's
to
That's the distinction. It's not foreign media, because British state media, BBC, they echo the U.S. establishment line, as does others, France 24 and others. They're perfectly welcome.
And nobody has a problem with American officials giving interviews to BBC.
It is those who have a different narrative than that of the U.S. government, be they the domestic alternative media on the far left or on the alt-right, or foreign media such as RT or Sputnik that amplifies that voice. And it's going to go beyond social media, I think. The war is highly concentrated on the internet, because that's where RT and others have had so much success. YouTube. The New York Times had a, it wasn't even an opinion piece, it was in the technology section this last week, out calling for RT to be driven off of YouTube because of the success that it's had.
The interesting thing is, Alex, is it that it's a politically impossible in this atmosphere in the U.S. and in Western Europe to go to RT's defense. And that's why it's such a perfect plan for them. Okay, if this had been antiwar.com, or if this had been the American Conservative, consortiumnews.com, it would be a different story. And then people would say, well, what about the First Amendment?
But no, they wouldn't, because they're already
I think there is a difference here.
I would clarify something that Mark said. When we talk about far left or far right, you know, RT and Sputnik are not far left
and not far right.
And so this doesn't, you know, the way that, but it's interesting that in the current climate, anything that deviates from the official government line is considered far right or far left,
which it is not. It's not even far left. It's progressives, for example, like Jimmy Dore, who's having his stuff demonetized. And then you go to conservative media analysts like Mark Dice, who's literally a one-man show, having his stuff demonetized. And it begins with demonetization. It begins with not allowing ads. But the slope is very slippery. And soon the accounts will be banned. And you're not talking just about YouTube. You're talking about massively powerful companies.
Downloaded on Google.
Yes, Facebook, YouTube. Google search, WhatsApp, Instagram. These are big, powerful platforms.
You've long had a situation in the U.S. where the two main establishment parties, once viewed as right and left, have triangulated politically towards a common neoliberal hegemonic center, sharing a common foreign policy, generally speaking, and so on. And anything outside of that, to the left and right, is viewed as non-establishment, as a threat. And if it ever has the same arguments, such as a government like Russia or media that present those government, that worldview, they're labeled useful idiots.
But they don't want to argue. They don't want any debate. That's it. At the end of the day, they don't want any debate.
It's totalitarianism of of narrative.
That's actually one of the reasons that Trump was able to win, because the American people saw him as somebody opposed to that mainstream discourse, both on the Republican and the Democratic side. They saw him as an outsider, whether he was or was not is a different question. But that's what they saw him as, and that's why he was able to capture the White House.
And it goes a little deeper, because Trump used Twitter for his advantage, and it opened up a lot of eyes. RT is extremely successful on social media, both on YouTube and on Twitter and on Facebook, and it opened up everyone's eyes, and they said, you know what? Trump got into the presidency. RT is getting a lot of viewers and is opening up a lot of eyes as to what's happening in the news. We need to shut them down.
Gentlemen, I have to jump in here. We're going to go to a short break, and after that short break, we'll continue our discussion on that famous dossier. Stay with RT. Okay, I want to go back to Mark. Let's continue this with Twitter, because I think that this is just a precedent. This is a test. They're going to see where I'm very fearful that there's going to be a rollout with other platforms and very, very soon.
Yeah, we have to be said that these social media giants and the other big internet platforms, Google, YouTube, they are kind of being caught in the crossfire here. They didn't want to pursue this.
Right.
They've long had, like YouTube has long had a very profitable, good relationship with RT.
Very friendly.
RT has made them a lot of money. They've their CEO appeared on RT when RT passed the billion view mark on YouTube and praised them for not being propaganda and for providing alternative views.
And the New York Times had a hit piece against
that. Twitter is the same way. And that's been highlighted this week. The same day that Twitter announced that RT would no longer being able to purchase ads, as all countries, all media organizations, both private, corporate, foreign do, they all buy advertisements on social media to promote their product, their news, to promote themselves. It's a form of advertising. RT was now banned from doing this. The editor-in-chief of RT, Margarita Semenyan, fired back, hoping that the CEO, Jack Dorsey, of Twitter, when he is he and the other social media and internet giant CEOs testify before the Senate witch hunt trials in early November, that they remind he reminds them that Twitter approached RT with a very detailed, very expensive package, encouraging them to promote their stories specifically about the election on Twitter to the tune of $1.5 million, deal that includes
emojis,
unique emoticons, a team of experts
but
to help them.
But what this tells us, Alex, is that this is purely political. It's not based on breaking
of
breaking of any rules, any regulations. Mm-hmm. There's nothing. There's been no breaking of restrictions, not whatsoever. It's just a purely political move.
They're
bowing to power.
It's completely political, and you're dealing with Twitter, a company that still hasn't figured out how to make money. And so they're approaching RT and they're saying, advertise with us. And all of a sudden now they're cutting RT from advertising. So in other words, a company that's not even reached profitability, is not making money, is turning away money. And it goes deeper than that, because the whole Silicon Valley engine is against the RTs and the alternative viewpoints. You have alternative platforms, alternative social media platforms that mimic Twitter, that mimic Facebook and YouTube, but they can't get funding from Silicon Valley. No one touches them because they're considered toxic. Why? Because they promote free speech. No one wants that.
It's no surprise that just in the past week, Facebook is making a move towards charging media outlets to post media content.
Information. If a news agency says they want to pay for that, they still have the right to say no. Okay? This is the path.
And we are really at the beginning of a new storm. You know, this next week is going to be very important with Robert Mueller getting the first indictments in his probe, and they're not going to be the last.
They're not going to have anything at all to do with the actual election.
But what they will have to do with is with the storm that's going to be in the media, in the political sphere, and this is going to be used to further limit the access of alternative media like RT and Sputnik and other stations too, to the American viewer. This is going to be used to further limit any type of cooperation, any type of access, the American people have to alternative information, because they're going to constantly, daily, on every single show, on every single radio station, Republican, Democratic,
exactly,
whether it's,
across
whether
the
it's
board,
Rush Limbaugh, whether right, it's Glenn Beck, or whether it's
Tucker Carlson,
Carlson, or whether it's somebody on the Democratic side,
Amy
it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Everyone, they're all going to hammer in. Well, our opponents, whether it's the Democrats or the Republicans, they're the ones that are that have colluded with Russia, and so we have to really limit the Russian presence here. So both the Republicans and the Democrats, the left, the liberal left, and the liberal right. I'm going to use that term. They're all going to sing the same tune. Russia is to blame. No,
but
to Russia.
To blame. You know, Alex. You know, I just really have to wonder when you look at. Of course, stations like Fox and others have brought up the Uranium One story, which is a legitimate story, first reported by the New York Times. Peter Schweitzer in his book, Clinton Cash.
Downplayed by okay. the mainstream.
Right. Yeah, really, big time. Right. Yeah. But what's really interesting here is that I have to really question if any of this will ever really be explained, because you have in the Uranium One story all those characters are still in power today, most of them minus Hillary yeah. Clinton. Okay, are they going to investigate themselves?
They're investigating each other is what's happening right now. I mean, it's so ridiculous.
So, no, they're looking for sacrificial lambs, right?
And it's so ridiculous because you have Paul Manafort, who was the one-time campaign manager for Trump.
And friends with?
Friends with John Podesta, the campaign manager for Clinton. And they were working together. It's madness because you have these elites and it's this big club and you're not in it. And they're investigating each other, and they're working with each other, and they're having lunch together. And you just got to imagine that they're laughing at all of this stuff because it's one big hoax. It's all one big hoax. You have the Washington Free Beacon, a neocon conservative publication, passing off the dossier to Clinton. Clinton works with Fusion GPS, who's a PR liberal smear company, and they contract a British spy, so Britain now is interfering in the U.S.
And
elections.
For how much money?
For $12 million. And he passes around this $12 million like candy. And of course people are going to tell him stories because it's easy money. It's completely easy money. What do you want to hear about Trump?
Sure.
I'll tell you a couple things.
It's interesting where the money for this dodgy dossier came from. We know originally the Republicans started picking up the tab during the primary. We don't know the exact names. We know that then the Hillary Clinton campaign and the DNC picked up the funding for it. That was the majority of its time. And although both Hillary Clinton and Debbie Wasserman Schultz have now come out with statements claiming that, oh, they knew nothing about it
because this is
a serious FEC violation, because they did not report this, right? This is not only opposition research, but they're going to a foreign agent taking unverified information from other supposed Russian government.
Can we stress something real quick, Mark? The foreign agent isn't Russian. It's British.
British. So, but they're not the only ones, because CNN had a story, little notice this week, that they came out with that said the other financial supporter of this dodgy dossier, this opposition research against Trump, is Obama's FBI. Obama's FBI covered the expenses for Christopher Steele. They offered to pay him more money. He actually turned it down. But they paid for his expenses. What those expenses were and how much they were,
we don't know. All of us sitting at this table see the futility of all of this, of really getting any answers here. But if you watch the cable networks, I mean, you see a very different narratives in play here. We see the obvious. Who colluded with Russia? I don't know. But it seems to me that an enormous amount of collusion within the political elite and the media.
You know, the bottom line here is that the result of all these investigations and the result of all this fighting is that the U.S. political sphere is getting more destabilized. The United States is getting weaker, both as far as its reputation on the international stage and its domestic situation. As a result of these of this bickering, of these investigations, of these witch hunts that are now happening on both sides of the political spectrum in the United States. So, and the further this goes, the less the interests of the American establishment are actually served in the long term.
I wonder, that's crossed my mind too, but because of the media spin I can see how people are going to follow one narrative or the other, but they're not going to look at the very big picture. Alex, it seems to me, discussing the FBI, the Department of Justice, you know, the Clinton Foundation, and we go, you know, a fuse in GPS. Where's Trump in all of this? Because I don't really see where he fits in.
Trump is the only one that it seems that didn't collude with all these people.
With all these people, exactly.
He's tweeting about it from the sidelines.
He's tweeting about it. He's the only person that seems to be clean. I mean,
it's amazing.
Going back on the FBI story, you have the two foundational core foundation premises that Russia colluded with Trump was the DNC server, which was the one part.
And then you have this FBI dossier, which no government agency ever investigated.
Yeah, they were both outsourced. Yeah. The FBI must have 30, 40,000 agents, and they outsource this DNC server hack, and then they outsource the dossier, and they pay for this guy's plane tickets.
Both of them outsourced, it should be said, to Democratic Party.
I'm curious about. When Jim Comey, then head of the FBI, when he went to the White House and he showed the dossier to Trump, what was he trying to convey to the president-elect? What was he trying to convey?
We're coming for you.
I want to keep my job.
It's a threat, I think. It's definitely a threat.
He was laying down the deep state law. You cross these lines, you're out of here.
Yeah, the dossier was floating around for months. Not one journalist wanted to touch it.
Apparently John McCain gave it to Comey himself.
McCain gave it to Comey. It was ridiculous.
Let's go big picture and see with these supposed indictments coming out early this week. First of all, it has to be noted that none of them are going to have anything to do with the election or with Trump collusion. This investigation, and it's particularly ironic that Comey and Mueller, with this uranium scandal, probably have more actual colluding with the Russian government to do than the people they're investigating. But They're going to have little takeaway that proves the amount of money and time spent, but that have nothing to do with any collusion. There's not going to be any proof of that. They're going to go after people for, like, Manafort for tax evasion on financial
Flynn,
records going back a decade.
Again, with money.
With money from the Turks. Again, nothing to do with the election. Obstruction of justice charges, like they got with Clinton with the Monica Lewinsky scandal. It will have no substance bearing on the election. But that's because this witch hunt has become so powerful.
But this is key. Yeah. You said just like Bill Clinton and Monica Lewinsky. You know, when Ken Starr started his investigation, it had nothing to do with Monica Lewinsky. And what did Clinton get impeached on in the House of Representatives?
A blue dress. All right, gentlemen, we've run out of time here. I want to thank my guests here in Moscow. And thanks to our viewers for watching us here at RT. See you next time. And remember, Crosstalk rules.
You're listening to Weekday World from CPR, Community Public Radio. I'm your host, Don DeBar.